The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This program is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover Christmas week, the week of Monday, December 22nd through Sunday, December 28th, 2025. The commentary for December was written by Dorothy Sanders Wells, who serves as Bishop of the Diocese of Mississippi. Committed to working for racial healing, justice, and equity for all of God's people, she was a lawyer for many years before leaving the practice to follow God's call to ordained ministry. She and her husband Herb have two daughters. The commentary for Monday, December 22nd begins as follows. This is a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. And it is on this Monday, December 22nd, that we commemorate St. Thomas the Apostle. Here's the commentary. Near the end of World War II, a group of American soldiers remained prisoners of war at Stalag IXA near Ziegenhain, Germany. One morning, German soldiers asked for any Jewish POWs among the group to come forward. Master Sergeant Roddy Edmonds, the senior non-commissioned officer, ordered all 1,000 soldiers in his command to stand together and told the German authorities, "We are all Jews." A German soldier drew a gun and threatened Edmonds, but he repeated, "We are all Jews. If you shoot me, you'll have to shoot all of us." His heroic action spared the lives of an estimated 200 to 300 Jewish soldiers. For his courage and for his willingness to stand against injustice toward his Jewish comrades, Edmonds became one of only five Americans to be recognized by Israel's Yad Vashem as righteous among the nations, non-Jews who risked their lives to save Jews during the Holocaust. Edmonds refused to shrink back in the face of injustice. His faith saved his comrades and continues to inspire us all. And now I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 35, through chapter 11, verse 1. Do not, therefore, abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while the one who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back, and so are lost, but among those who have faith, and so are saved. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the moving forward question for this Monday is, how can you boldly profess your faith in God? The commentary for Tuesday, December 23rd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 38a. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Sean Glenn learned that his kidneys were failing during a hospitalization several years ago. Family members offered to help, but Sean refused. He would accept an organ from someone at the end of life, but he didn't want an otherwise healthy relative to put their own lives at risk by giving an organ to save him. Then an unthinkable tragedy happened. His 13-year-old daughter, Samaria, was diagnosed with an incurable brain bleed. When Sean and Samaria's mother were asked about organ donation, they realized that Samaria's kidney could save Sean's life. Grieving but accepting, Sean received one of the Samaria's kidneys. He was one of five people to be given the gift of Samaria's organs, receiving new life even in the heartbreak of death. To pray, "Let it be with me according to your word," is to open ourselves to possibilities beyond our imagining, even in the midst of heartbreak, and to express our trust in God's never-failing love and providence. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this day from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how do you truly surrender to God's will for your life? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, December 24th, which of course is Christmas Eve. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 43 and 44. "And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy." My favorite statue in Israel is the site of the Visitation of Mary and Elizabeth. The bronze work shows two women meeting, Elizabeth older and further along in her pregnancy, and a younger Mary with barely a baby bump. The two women face each other and the news of the impossible being possible. Elizabeth, in her mature years, is expecting her first child with her husband, Zechariah, and Mary carries the child of the Most High. In finally bearing a child, Elizabeth has shed the stigma, scorn, and derision of first-century Israel. This child leaps for joy at the arrival of Mary and her unborn child, offering powerful affirmation of an angelic message that Mary would bear the Son of God. At Elizabeth's affirmation, Mary breaks into her own majestic hymn of praise at what God is already doing through the birth of this child. The meeting reminds us of the moments in our lives in which we can affirm and love, and in so doing, be blessed ourselves. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through verse 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. And the moving forward question for December 24th, Christmas Eve: how can we take advantage of every opportunity to affirm God's love for our neighbors? And now we turn to the commentary for Thursday, December 25th, Christmas Day, the day on which we celebrate and commemorate the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10b through 11a. "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Does anyone know what Christmas is all about? In the classic animated special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, a frustrated Charlie Brown discovers that, for his friends, Christmas is about lists for Santa, presents, over-the-top decorations, and celebrations. Charlie Brown thinks surely there must be more. But what? Trusty Linus comes to Charlie Brown's aid, reciting texts from Luke's Gospel. "For unto you is born this day a Savior." The words become an aha moment for Charlie Brown, and ultimately his friends begin to understand too. Christmas is about love, the love of God coming to live in human form among an oppressed people. It is a love to behold with awe, and a love we're meant to emulate. A children's classic reminds us that God's love is transformative for Charlie Brown, his friends, and even for that spindly evergreen tree. Our work in sharing the good news and our own reflection of God's love into the world are powerful and transformative. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. "In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And the moving forward question for this Christmas day, how are you called to emulate God's love in this world? Now the commentary for Friday, December 26th, the Feast of St. Stephen, Deacon and Martyr. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 53. "You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it." The Acts of the Apostles offers painstaking detail into the stoning of Stephen. Stephen's messages of God were so powerful, indicting and spirit-filled, that some in the council in Jerusalem were persuaded to present false testimony against him. When Stephen is brought before the council, he offers one last sermon, recounting the history of Abraham and his descendants through their enslavement in Egypt and of Moses, chosen by God to lead them from their bondage. Stephen's powerful closing is more than the crowd can absorb, and he is stoned to death. We are soon introduced to another character, a Jewish man named Saul. Holding himself up as a keeper of the law, Saul persecutes followers of Christ in his zealous and righteous belief that they are blasphemers. Saul will have his own conversion experience and come to profess a belief in Christ after confronting his shortcomings. And now I'm going to read this passage from Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through chapter 7, verse 4. "Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others of those from Cilicia and Asia, stood up and argued with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes, and then they suddenly confronted him, seized him, and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, This man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us. And all who sat in the council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like that of an angel. Then the high priest asked him, "Are these things so?" And Stephen replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our ancestor Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and go to the land that I will show you.' Then he left the country of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After his father died, God had him move from there to this country in which you are living now." And the moving forward question for this Feast of St. Stephen, the day after Christmas: how might you be blinded to your shortcomings? The commentary for Saturday, December 27th, the day in which we commemorate St. John the Apostle, begins with a passage from Psalm 92, 1 and 3. "It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, on the psaltery and on the lyre, and to the melody of the harp. Wherefore, with my utmost art, I will sing thee in eternities too short to extol thee." As I shared earlier, my first God language is music. For me, music is a language of scripture and a language of praise. I've been drawn for years to texts by British priest and poet George Herbert, 1593 to 1633, set to music by many composers, including Ralph Vaughan Williams. Herbert's poem, "King of Glory, King of Peace," proclaims that the response to our loving God is our own unceasing love and praise, giving all that we have and all that we are to the God who loves us conditionally. "King of glory, King of peace, I will love thee, and that love may never cease, I will move thee. Thou hast granted my request, thou hast heard me. Thou didst note my working breast, thou hast spared me. 7 whole days, not 1 in 7, I will praise thee. In my heart, though not in heaven, I can raise thee." And now I'm going to read from Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord God, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy." And the moving forward question for this Saturday: what music in your soul helps you offer unceasing praise to God? And now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, we turn to the commentary for Sunday, December 28th, the first Sunday of the Christmas season. It begins with a passage from Isaiah 62, verse 2b. "You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give." What's in a name? Apparently a lot. In our holy scriptures, we find on numerous occasions that God's people are given new names. Abram and Sarai become Abram and Sarah. A lying, cheating Jacob is given a name that will identify his descendants forever: Israel. Jesus renames Simon as Peter when they meet. New names mark new chapters in these characters' lives. Sometimes starting again might require a new name. Isabella Bomfrey was born an enslaved woman in 1797 and adopted a new name as she took on a mantle of ministry around 1843. This name, Sojourner Truth, spoke to her path to freedom in Jesus and the truth she was called to proclaim. Sojourner Truth began boldly telling this truth in her advocacy of abolition and women's suffrage. Sojourner Truth was given the grace of 40 years to proclaim her message and preached at many public events. She died in 1883, having shed the shackles of slavery for a place in the history of freedom. And now I'm going to read this passage from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 through 62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown into it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, how might God call you to a new name and identity? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you a very merry and blessed Christmas season. And thank you for listening to Reflections Day by Day. Let's close this program with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week as we begin a new year from Forward Day by Day, a publication of ForwardMovement.org. Goodbye until next time.